I'm going to give you your Christmas present today. Y'all ready? You ready for it? Your Christmas present is I'm finishing up 1 Samuel. just in time for Christmas. How about that? 1 Samuel chapter 30. And we have been actually on this journey through this particular passage of scripture. Oh my God, what, almost 8 weeks now, hasn't it been? It's been more than that. All right, well, this your Christmas present. I'm done. I'm going to be done with it on today. All right. In chapter 30, beginning verse number 1, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. Now the Amalekites had raided Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it, and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them, but carried them off as they went on their way. And when David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire, and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. So David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. And David's two wives had been captured, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. But David found strength in the Lord. And just for a few moments, I just want to talk to you from this subject. Sometimes you got to encourage yourself in the Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray that you help us to be able to go from being discouraged to being encouraged. In the name of Jesus, we pray, and all of God's people said, amen. You may be seated in the beauty of holiness. Before I get into this message, so I don't forget, I want you to keep Jennifer in prayer. She's going, if she don't have the baby by Saturday, we're going to have another Christmas present. Amen. On the day before Christmas Eve. And it's sad because this will be the second Christmas that she'll be in the hospital delivering a baby, but we just want to keep her in prayer. Come on, let's give God some praise. Amen. I don't know about you, but I read this story, and I found it interesting. The devil one day had an auction. He was going to auction off all of his tools. Man went to auction just to see what the devil had to auction off. And as he walked around, he saw the different tools that the devil used. And one was anger, and price tag was $60. Then there was envy, and that price tag was $100, and jealousy was on the table, and jealousy cost about $400. And then there was this old beat up tool, and it cost $1,500. And the man said, "Why does that old worn out beat up tool cost more than all of these other ones?" And the devil answered, he says, "Because discouragement works every time." And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but there are days when we all get discouraged. No matter what, I believe that Job said it best, "Man that is born of a woman is of a few days and full of trouble." It is discouragement that will creep in even when you're doing the best you can, even sometimes when things are working out rather well. I remember one prophet who had a pretty good day. He had called down fire from heaven, and he left that victorious setting and got up under a juniper tree, and God had to send a raven to feed him and to strengthen him. Because no matter how many successes you can have in life, sometimes you feel your best is not good enough. Times when you, as parents, we do the best that we can with the little resources that we have, and even though the kids are clean, they have a roof over their head, they can go and do a few things, they got a game to play, and they got new clothes, and anytime that they ask you for something, you may not have it, but somehow you get it. Sometimes within yourself you feel like your best is not good enough. Yeah. You go to your job, you're faithful to your job, you're on time every day, you cram into your work. Matter of fact, you kind of enjoy what you're doing. And even though you have accomplished many tasks over a plethora of years, it seems like sometimes your best isn't good enough. And even in the church, and as I was sharing with you, all of these ministers of the gospel and are discouraged along the way, because no matter how many hospital visits, no matter how many prison visits, no matter how many times you stand in court, no matter how many times you deal with losses and you stand in the gap for them, in not only in prayer but in emotion and sometimes even financially. You can go and have a great service where people are running and jumping and shouting, and you go back to your office and feel discouraged. All of us have felt discouraged. And the sad part about being discouraged, and depending on who you are, is that people, number one, don't understand. And number two, there's some people that don't care. And number three, you can't trust everybody with your information. Come on, talk back to me here. Who can you talk to? Who can you go to? Who will understand? Who will comprehend? Who can you trust? And David is now in a place where he's out of the will of God one more time. He hasn't really sought God in quite a few chapters. He's been hiding out. Matter of fact, he has decided now to live amongst the Philistines. Strange place to be living after you have just been told by Saul, "I'm not chasing you any longer. Not mad at you any longer. I'm not upset with you any longer." But there's still something within David that says, "I don't trust you." And I might as well go ahead and stick that pin right here. That one of the seeds of discourage is distrust. Because as much as you love, as much as you care, as much as you want to do, sometimes you just don't want to put your stuff out there like that no more. I heard what you said, but I don't believe what you said. And this seed of distrust is the beginning of his discouragement. And he decides that after leaving Saul, he is going to live amongst the Philistines, and he grabs favor with a king who gives him a city called Ziklag. Ziklag is a little village, a little town that now he has been elevated from a leader of an army to the mayor of a city. And That's still not his promise. But you know, sometimes, you know, we'll settle for second best and think we have arrived. And truth of the matter is, that is just another testing ground. Ziklag is another testing ground for David. And David is here, and he thinks that everything is cool, everything is okay, because I got me a city, I got me about 600 men. I know that they broke, busted, and disgusted, but it really don't matter. I got my little followers, and not only that, but you know, that was 600 men, which means I got 600 women, and God only knows how many children. And so I'm feeling myself. And so David gets up each morning, Rodney, and this is what he does. He goes down and he reads the Ziklag Express, and after he gets finished reading his morning newspaper, he goes and he gets his coffee. He takes a few of his boys out there to work out, and after they get finished working out, the guys go home, they eat a good meal, and then sometime in the afternoon they decide which place they're going to raid. Yeah, this is a daily routine. I'm gonna read my newspaper. I'm gonna drink my coffee. I'm gonna work out, and then we're gonna go out. We'll raid and plunder. The sad part about it is that David is plundering his own people. yes. He's plundering his own people, and now he's also made a compromise with those who want to kill Saul. David is in a place where he's doing things that his heart would not allow him to do. But now, because of distrust, the second seed of discouragement that will bloom out is compromise. Everybody in here must admit, at one time or another, you settled for something that was beneath you. whether it was a man, whether it was a woman, whether it was a job, whether it was a career move, whether it was a business decision, you accepted something and you compromised what you believed in. And David compromised by living amongst the Philistines. He compromised by raiding these different cities, and now he's being enlisted. He's being enlisted. Yes, he is to fight against Saul's army, against Israel. Here he is being enlisted to fight with the Philistines, and the story is told that's when the bottom begins to really and truly fall out. And the reason why the bottom is falling out is because David is not supposed to be there. David is supposed to be trusting God. David is supposed to be leading God's people. David is supposed to be strong in the Lord, but now he is weak in his flesh because he's feeling himself some type of way. Yeah. David is now aligned with a government that is going to oppose his own people, and he's willing to fight the fight. But how many know God won't let you do it? There are some things you want to do that God will not allow you to do. I'll be honest, come next month, Fellowship World will be 17 years old, and I'm not going to tell you how many times I put in resumes somewhere else, but God would not let me go. You don't know how many times I want to shut these doors, but guess what? God would always open up another one, and I had to walk through it. Whether it was 300 or 3, it didn't matter. We had to still do it because God said, don't think for 30 seconds I don't want to shut this radio station off after paying all these bills and not getting the support that I thought I should have. But it ain't about John. Are you hearing me? Sometimes God just won't let you do it. And the Philistines recognized who David was, And they began to sing out of the Philistine, actually out of the Israelite hymn book. Saul killed his thousands. And David killed 10,000s. Even the Philistines knew who David was. And don't think for one moment that just because you compromise and you aligned with somebody that they don't know who you really are. And they said, you know what? I ain't fighting with that dude. If you send him back to Ziklag, send him back to Saul, send him, I'm not fighting with him. That, matter of fact, he's walking around with Goliath's sword. Now, what in the world, he gonna use Goliath's sword to now go against his own people? I don't think so. We ain't fighting with you. King says, man, you're fired. David has been faithful. David has been loyal. David has not done anything wrong. He has not hurt. Matter of fact, the man is saying, you did a good job, but you're fired. And you want to know something? That can become discouraging to a lot of individuals where you've done a good job and you're fired. You've been a good spouse, but you're fired. You've been a good church member, but you're fired. You've been a good pastor, but you're fired. You've been a good friend, but you're fired. You've been a good lover, but you're fired. You've been a good giver, but you're fired. I'm just wondering, has anybody ever been discouraged where you did a good job and got fired? Woo! Oh, David, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired, you're fired. He didn't need Donald Trump to tell him. Somebody made sure he got fired. And David goes back to Ziklag, discouraged some more. And now, all of a sudden, as they get ready to approach Ziklag, somebody smells smoke. David. Do you smell that? That smells like smoke. Somebody else says, yeah, I smell it too. That smells like smoke. And now all of a sudden, 600 men start running towards Ziklag to find it burning. Not only is it burning, but I can see them all going to their own separate abodes or houses or tents or whatever they lived in at the time, looking for their wives and looking for their children and looking for their belongings and looking for their cattle and looking for everything that they've invested their whole life into, and it's all gone. What do you do when you come home and it's all gone? Paul lets you know exactly what I'm talking about. You had a fire in your house and all of the work that you had put into it, almost to the point where you didn't even have a mortgage and you were getting ready to retire only to find out it's all gone. These men are devastated. The house is gone. The dishes are gone. The silverware is gone. The underwear is gone. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? All of it is gone. But the thing that really bothered them the most was their sons and daughters were gone. And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but it gets really discouraging when you don't know where your children are. There are many days I can reflect back to them days when we grew up and Irv Weinstein or Tom Joles would say, it's 11 o'clock. Do you know where your children are? And I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but it becomes discouraging when you've lost your stuff and you lost everything you work for and everything is burning, but the most important thing to you is gone, your kids. And these men instead of getting angry, instead of getting upset, instead of getting cussing, they cried. The Bible says, Rodney, that they cried until they lost their strength. That, my friend, is one boo-hoo. When you just let it all go to the point where you're drained. You have no more strength. You're confused. You're bewildered. You're worried. And there ain't no Hennessy. There ain't no Bacardi. There ain't no Ciroc. Y'all can talk back to me. There's no Rhine. There's no Riesling. There's no Merlot. There's no Chardonnay. And no wife. You got that right. Can become discouraging. Now, after they've gotten finished with their cry, because they wailed and they wailed and they wailed and they cried and they cried and they wailed. And after grief sets in, and you must understand that part of the grieving process, ladies and gentlemen, is anger. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. The shock and awe of the burning cities is one thing, okay? The denial that everything is gone is another thing. As a matter of fact, the overwhelming emotion that you have to the point where you cry, but after a while, when that thing sets in, you get mad. Okay, come on. Amen. You get angry. You get bitter. You just want to punch anything around you. Anybody that says one thing that raises it up, it's like a button that'll set up an atomic bomb. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? It gets to that point. And please don't let other angry people be around you. Because misery loves company. I don't know. It's all right to have one bitter woman, but you have about 10 or 20 of them around together, boy, you might as well just go and get on top of that rooftop, because it's about something getting ready to go down. Yeah. But now, this ain't women. These are men. And that's dangerous, and they are plotting to kill David, the one who rescued them from being busted, disgusted. David, the one that, when they were in poverty, has paid every last bill, has made sure that all of their family was taken care of. David, the one who taught them how to be a good shepherd. David, the one who not only taught them all of that, but taught them how to be worshipers, and taught them how to lean and depend on God, and taught them not to be fearful, that taught them to be strong and very courageous, that taught them that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want it. He will lead us beside green pastures and beside still waters. David, the one who told them the goodness and mercy will follow them all the days of their life. That David is now the bullseye for a butt whooping. And you want to know something? What do you do when you're by yourself now? Not one of these 600 men are not thinking that David lost his wives too, that he's grieving too, that he's hurting too, that he has cried too. Ain't thought for one moment. And I got to go ahead and stick this pin here. When folks are going through stuff, let me tell you something, that they really only concerned about themselves. I know you lost your two wives, but so what? I lost this and I lost that, and I'm going through this and I'm going through that. It becomes, at one minute it was we, now it's all about me. And many times, when we're going through, we need somebody to be there for us, but ain't nobody else around. What do you do when you can't go to your family, you can't go to your friends, you can't go to the people that you helped, you can't trust nobody, and you can't go home? David had one last resort. And I think that many of us don't realize that when our back is up against the wall and we're discouraged and it seems like there is no help, that's when we recognize that all of our help comes from the Lord. I know you're with me. I know you're with me. I know that you fought with me. I know that you followed me. I know that you've been out there with me. I know that you've helped me. But God sent you to help. But the real help came from the Lord. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but sometimes you're going to have to find your strength not in everything tangible. You have to have the faith that goes past what you can see and what you can feel and what you can touch and what you can taste. You're going to have to get that kind of faith that sees the invisible, that expects the impossible. You have to have that type of faith. And I'm talking about just a little bit. It don't have to be much. Just a grain of a mustard seed of faith will give you the strength you need to tell your mountain to get out of your way. You're going to need that kind of strength, because you're not going to be able to depend on mama and daddy when they're gone. You're not going to be able to depend on your boss when they file bankrupt. You're not going to be able to depend on folks while they're going through stuff and they can't help you. You're going to have to say, I look to the hills from which cometh my help. All of my help comes from the Lord. He's discouraged. But I like how it says it in every translation. And usually when I've preached about this one little word, it's usually about getting your negativity out of the way. Because if you read the B text of verse number 6, the first word is the most important word, but. Because see, maybe, your butt is in the way. Yeah. But I don't have any friends. But I don't have anybody to support me. But I don't have anybody to help me. But I've lost everything. But your butt is in the way. But this one says, but David found strength. Yeah. Because see, but erases everything before it. It erases all doubt. It erases all fear. But erases everything. That's why you got to be very, very careful, Jennifer, when people say, I love you, but. Oh, yeah. Because apparently there's a but. Yeah, in the way of their true love. You have to be careful. I care for you, but, because that means they're getting ready to pull something or pull a rug from up under you. You got to be, say, I trust you, but, because that may get you into a place where you're in a zigzag instead of in a kingdom. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen, but I think some of us just need to get our butts out of the way. But he strengthened himself. Strengthening. Pressing beyond the pain and pressing yourself beyond your limits. I remember some years ago, the boy's mother called. She was having some episode at work. And I grabbed Tori, and I was rushing out because they had called the ambulance. And in the midst of trying to protect the baby while I was running, I slipped on some black ice, and I twisted myself in such a way so that he would not get hurt. But boy, did I jack myself up. But in the excitement of that particular moment, I did not worry too much about my pain. I went there, but boy, when the excitement wore off, has anybody ever had a fall? It didn't hurt then, but boy, it sure reminded you later. Yeah. And I had not even realized that I had sprained my ankle in that process. And I'm wondering, why is this thing hurting so bad? Why is this thing hurting so bad? And I hadn't taken off my shoes yet, so I didn't realize that the thing had swollen up like a big old balloon. And wait a minute, you know, I was more concerned about who was going to the hospital, and I was the one that ended up in the emergency room. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Because sometimes you could care about everybody else to the point where you neglect yourself. Y'all not hearing me? David had neglected his relationship with God. He hadn't talked to him in a few chapters now. Because he thought everything was going okay. But all of his compromises, he was walking in sin. I don't know about you, ladies and gentlemen. I don't know about you. It could go all well, because sin does mask itself as fun. Oh, it got quiet here. It got quiet here. Yeah. Sin does mask itself like everything is okay. Sin does mask itself like, you know, you being blessed by God and actually you getting jacked up by the devil. David had to strengthen himself in the Lord, and I had to get a brace on the ankle and the foot. And for the first and only time in my life, I was on crutches. But I was determined. I was going to preach that Sunday. I was determined. I was going to preach that Sunday. If they had to wheel me in a wheelchair, I was going to preach that Sunday, because I just, you know, that's just me. And I pride myself on being at home on Sunday and at the church on Sunday. And so I had to strengthen myself to be able to endure that pain. Whether I preach for 20 minutes or an hour, I would have to strengthen myself to endure that pain, which meant I had to put pressure. Are you hearing of me? in order to walk, number one, and in order to stand, number two, and guess what? I played that Sunday morning, and so in order to play as well, I'm here to let you know, ladies and gentlemen, that the only way that you can really strengthen yourself is to press yourself into the presence of God, even in your pain. Because those are the days where you don't want to pray. Those are the days that you don't. The only thing you really. And when I'm talking about pray, I'm not talking about, Lord, why you do this to me? No. That's whining. That's not praying. That's whining and complaining. I'm talking about, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continue to be in my mouth. I'm talking about praying where when you get to that place where the only thing you can do is just get caught up in the first stanza of the Lord's Prayer. And when you get caught up in it, the only thing you can do is just say, hallowed be thy name. You can't get any further than the worship and the praise of God, because true prayer is not about what you're going through. It's about who you're going to. And when you go into the presence of God, you can't come in there all wimpy and whiny. He don't want you to come in there busted and defeated, because the first thing he's going to say is, who are you? David strengthened himself by figuring out who he was. I'm a king's kid. I'm a man after God's own heart. I have been anointed through Samuel to become the next king. I am God's child. And ladies and gentlemen, when you actually can shake off your depression and shake off your discouragement and shake off all of that thing and shake the devil off until such time as you remember who you are and whose you are, then you're strengthened in the Lord. I can go now because now all of a sudden David has this ragtag band army full of crybabies, but we got to go get our stuff. Somebody ought to shout, we got to get our stuff. I know you're crying, I know you're weeping, I know that you're depressed, I know that you're angry, I know that you're but wait a minute, you're not going to get your stuff back sitting here snotting and crying and crying and snotting. You need to wipe your nose. Come on, little baby, it's time to go. It's time to go. And so all 600 of them start out. But guess what? By the time they get about halfway there, two-thirds of them were too tired to fight. But how many know you don't need a whole lot? You just need God. God is my army. God is my fighter. God is the one. And so God leads them, and he has to take some more people, some more support away from him. He takes away 400 of the men. Where you do that at? And now, how am I going to fight and get my stuff back with only 200 snotting and crying people? But one thing David knew was that if they were that weak after crying, they would not be able to fight. They would slow us down and we would be defeated. Sometimes you just need to leave some people behind to watch the stuff that you already have. Amen. Hey, if you that weak, if you can't handle that, fine. I ain't got no problem with that. You stay here and watch the stuff we got and we'll go get the rest. How about that? All right. I don't need you slowing me down, weighing me down. You know, if you still got issues and problems and you still angry and mad and upset, well, go on, sit down for a while. And you stay here, you watch this stuff while we go get our stuff back. And many of us right now are discouraged, and I know why we're discouraged, is because we want all 600 of them to go. And I'm sorry to tell you, you don't need the 600. You already got God all by himself. 200 of them go in. 200 of them go in, and they wreak havoc. But before they could go in, they needed to know where they were. And God has always given you everything you needed. Because the truth of the matter is, there was a little Egyptian boy who got sick and while they were raiding Ziklag, and they left him for dead. You must understand, ladies and gentlemen, that God will always leave directions for you. The reason why that little boy got sick and got left for dead was so that David could get direction. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, you don't know who God is going to place in your path to get direction. It could be an old person with wisdom. It could be a middle-aged person who's been there, done that, got a t-shirt. It could be a young person, or it could be a little child. But God will give you some type of direction. Only thing you've got to do is be willing to listen to it. But first, here's another test thing to get him out of his discouragement is that God had to ignite his compassion. Because even though this boy is laying there and he has the directions, he's so starving, he can't even talk. David says, go and get him something to eat. Get him something to drink. Let us feed him. Let us nourish him so that we can get direction. And ladies and gentlemen, that is some of what our calling is not to be so mean and evil and nasty and ornery and selfish. Come on, talk back to me. Talking about I'm going to get my stuff. What you need to do is have compassion, because when you have compassion, God then opens the door, because out of all of the things that will ever win in life, love conquers a multitude of sins. And after the man is nourished, he gives him the directions. Now, let me tell you why he gave him the directions. Ask me why. This is the reason why. It's because they left him behind. you got to understand, ladies and gentlemen, there's got to be a wisdom behind leaving people behind. You just don't leave people behind just because your selfishness or your foolishness or your anger. There's a reason why you leave people behind, because when you leave people behind that are real close to you, you must also know they know everything about you. They know where you live. They know what your phone number is. They know how you act. They know what you do. They can tell you everything. They can tell your enemy everything. Some things you just don't leave behind. You better drag that thing along with you. And turns turncoat on him and tells David where his stuff is. And you must understand, ladies and gentlemen, when it's time to get your stuff, you getting it all back. Somebody shout all back. Yeah. Sometimes we have these little wins, and we get excited about the little wins. But I'm sorry to tell you, don't get excited about the little stuff. You need to keep focused on getting it all back. Everything the devil took from you, everything the enemy stole from you, everything that you have lost, God says you shall recover it all. Everything that was taken from you, you're going to get your kids back. You're going to get your wives back. You're going to get your cattle back. You're going to get you're going to get your silverware back. You're getting ready to get your stuff back. Somebody ought to say, I'm going to get all of my stuff back. Because see, once you get that down in your spirit, you can shake off all of your discouragement. You can shake off all of your depression. You can shake off all of your anxiety, because you know that if God is for you, that is more than the whole world against you. And if you could just stand on the word of God, and he said, be strong and very courageous, and wherever you put your foot, I feel like preaching now, it shall be yours. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but you ought to make up in your mind before 2018 even came here, I'm getting all of my stuff back. And I don't care what Saul says. I don't care what Jonathan says. I don't care what Michelle says. I don't care what Abathar says. I don't care what anybody says. I'm getting ready to get it all back. I don't know about you, but then after those 200 men go in and they get there, they begin to plunder the place and began to get all of their stuff back. They began to take their wives. They began to get their children. They began to get all of the things that God had promised that they would come back and they would recover all. But that's not the end of the story, because y'all got to remember that still Saul is somewhere out in the wings. And sometimes our discouragement is that, my sleeping dogs may lie, but they may come out and bark one more time. Some of us have pretty much self-sabotaged ourselves, because we're afraid that if we get it again, we'll lose it again. But I'm here to let you know, ain't nothing like the real thing, baby. And the only real thing is the real word of God. And when God says that I shall supply every last one of your needs, that means not just the stuff is coming back, but your peace is coming back. Your joy is coming back. Your anointing is coming back. Your worship life is coming back. Your praise life is coming back. Your prayer life is coming back. coming back. I'm getting ready to restore everything the enemy discouraged you with. But one last thing I've got to take care of, and that's the Saul in your life. You've been running for the past 10 years. You've been running and hiding in wildernesses. You've been running and hiding with the busted and disgusted. You've been running and hiding amongst the Philistines. But now you've got to get in your mind that the Lord is my fortress, that I can hide under the shadow of the Almighty. I've got to get to that place where I know that my Lord and my God shall protect me. Matter of fact, yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. And so, as the story concludes, there is one more fight that needs to be fought, and that's the fight against your soul. I know he's been chasing you. I know he took your first love. I know that when you were faithful, he wanted to throw his spear at you and kill you. I know that every time you had a chance to take him out, you stood on the word of God. But my God, I said, I'm going to take care of your enemies on my own. I'm going to take care of the Saul once and for all. You go ahead, read it for yourself. Samuel 31, the Philistines came against Israel one last time. Wait a minute. Israel is the kingdom David is getting ready to inherit. But before he can inherit that kingdom, he's got to get rid of the Saul. I don't know about you, but there's a Saul in your life. He's been discouraging you. You've been hiding from him. You've been afraid of him. But wait a minute. God's got a way of making your enemies turn around and kill themselves. I don't know about you, but Jonathan and Saul are in a battle, in a fight, and they knew they were about to lose. So Saul told one of his men, kill me. And that man said, no, no, you gotta kill yourself. I don't know about you, but it sounds like the devil against Jesus. Yeah, I'm gonna take you out, Jesus. Put nails in your hand, put nails in your feet. I'm gonna put 72 thorns around your head. I'm gonna pierce you in your side. But guess what? That's not how the story will end. Yes, there'll be some discouragement. Father, why have thou forsaken me? But that's when the light bulb comes on. And guess what? Jesus said, devil, I'll make you kill yourself, because I'm going to put myself in God's hands, into thy hands. I commit my spirit unto you. And guess what? There was a fight, a real fight, down in hell. But guess what? That's when Jesus grabbed the sting from death and victory from the grave. And early, I said early, 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 early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And when your soul goes down, you will rise into the new year of your life, the new dimension of your life, the new you. Somebody say, I'm gonna get my stuff back. Saul dies by his own sword. And I'm here to let you know, those people who've been talking about you,
They're about to die by their own words. Those people who've been dogging you, they're about to die by their own actions. Those people who have been left you for dead, guess what? They getting ready to fall on their own sword. I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but somebody in here ought to just thank God he got you covered. He's got you covered. He's got your back. There are going to be some discouraging days, but we sing it all the time. We say it all the time, but now it's time to walk into it. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. When David strengthened himself, we ended up with a book of songs that allowed us the opportunity to reach into his heart. People look at your circumstances, but they don't know your heart. People look at what you may be going through right now, but they don't know your heart. People sometimes will count you out and have you running and hiding, but they don't know your heart. And one of the things that we do learn through 1 Samuel, and more so through the book of Psalms, when you read them, you feel his pain and his emotion. But through it all, he made up in his mind that praise is what I do. He made up in his mind. Even when I ain't got nothing else to say, ooh, it's what I do. You know, when your back is against the wall and you don't, that's all, and that's really all you can do. It's just say, Lord, I thank you. Even when I felt disconnected or I disconnected myself from you, I can come back to you. And you'll be standing there with arms wide open. And some of us are going to be coming back full of pig slop. You remember the prodigal son? When he got out that hog pen, there's nothing to say. He took a shower, a bath. He just made his way home. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. And you have to sometimes be humble enough to come back in the slop and the manure that you've been in. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. And say, Lord, I'm sorry. Lord, I'm sorry. And before you could even open up your mouth, God already heard your heart. Because it's the heart of the matter. And when you read each and every psalm, although we don't have the music, he says, I'll bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that's within me. I'm going to bless his holy name. And although I may not see my future, I'm going to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and forget not all his benefits. I'm going to, matter of fact, good or bad, I'm just going to bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. And once I get strengthened myself, that's when I just proclaim, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power, praise him for his mighty acts, praise him according to his excellent greatness. And you know, sometimes I need some music to praise him, so I'm going to praise him with the high and the loud sounding cymbals and the psaltery and the harp and the timbrel and dance, but I just can't do it alone. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. And I know you are part of the busted and disgusted, but can't let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. It really doesn't matter. What does matter is he's good all the time. And all the time I know he's good. He is good all the time, and all the time I know he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, he's good, yes he is. You may be discouraged, but still he is good all the time, and all the time I know he's good. I know Jeremiah, you said you were not going to say no more in his name, but you'll find out when that fire says he is good all the time, and all the time I know he's good. He's good. He's good. Oh, he is good. Yes, he is. All the time. And all the time. No. He's good. Oh, but you got to get it out of your system.
Whether you're here in this building or whether you are listening by radio or by internet, before you get your stuff back, you really and truly need to recognize that you need to be prepared for what God is going to give you. I ain't picking on nobody in here at all. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. God shows us something real interesting for those who either play the lottery or go to the casino. For some reason, you get a big win. It's what you've been asking for. That's what you went there for. That's what you wanted. But then right after the big win, you're broke again because you gave it all back. God says, I don't want you to give that away. I'm cheap, so I'm going to put $20 here and my winnings over there. So if this is empty, I'm walking away with this. But there are many people who say, well, oh, if I just take it out of here, maybe I'll get some more to put in here. What God gives you, you keep it here. It's a lesson that we learn that many times we overlook. I hate going to the corner store at certain times because everybody's in the lotto line. I look at all of the little signs of the little winners in there. Ain't nobody won over $100. But yet they playing $200 worth of numbers to get $100 and say I won. And I'm here to let you know, you at a loss. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. There are so many of us right now who are discouraged and we really don't know what to do, so we compromise. And the truth of the matter is, you never have to compromise. You know who you are, you know whose you are. And somebody just ought to just hug themselves real quick and say, I'm not cheap. Come on, hug yourself and say, I'm not cheap. That's when you strengthen yourself in the Lord, because God gave his only begotten son for you. That's not cheap. And when we compromise, we're telling him his sacrifice is not worth it. And that's why we stand on his word and we stand on his promise.
Because he promised we would be the head, not the tail. He promised that we would be the lender and not the borrower. He promised that we would be always on top and never on the bottom. And somebody today is in their zigzag. It's your final test. Your final test. We can't move on into 2 Samuel until you pass this test. And somebody says, well, I can't wait until the new year comes. Wait a minute. You can get this stuff together right now. Because it only takes a checkup from the neck up. Trust me. The only thing you got to be is transformed by the renewing of your mind. And when you make up in your mind, I'm going to tell this story and I'm gone. I'll never forget. I was very discouraged, very depressed. And it was really pretty much over my kids. It was around Christmas time, and a big blow up happened at the house, and I had to leave John and Brandy behind. Never wanted to do that. And I cried. I got mad. I got drunk. I did everything I possibly could to ease the pain. I went off on a few people. No, I went off on a lot of people. Over my kids. And I'll never forget, because I didn't have much. I left everything with them. So I left with a TV and my clothes. It was it. My refrigerator was the pantry. And I don't think I could do is put whatever needed to be cold outside the window. Thank God it was wintertime. And the apartment that I moved into, only thing it had was a Lazy Boy chair. Discouraged. And then one day, I just came to myself. And the moment that I came to myself, things turned around and changed. First of all, I had to make up in my mind I was not defeated. Second thing I had to do was take a stand. And the third thing I need to do is get all my stuff back. Getting over the discouragement part is probably the most hardest part to do. Because you've lost a lot. And when you're hurt to your heart, it's very hard to rebound. But once you make up in your mind who you are and whose you are, the story is over. Because then you come to yourself and you say, you want to know something? If God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. And you go for what you know. You go for what you know. I used to have to walk from Goodyear in Genesee, to Hurdle in Maine to go see my kids. I ain't had no car. And one day I said, you want to know something? If I got to walk that far, I ain't going. And I hung up the phone. 10 minutes later, their mom called back and said, okay, I'll bring them by. Only thing I had to do was take a stand. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But then going to get your stuff back is something different. Because you have to understand that you've worked hard, you've toiled hard, you've suffered long. And when you lose everything, I've been there more than one time. But one thing I know, God is faithful. I didn't need 300. We walked in this building with 3. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying. Before y'all even came, we had made a decision. It was 3. Boom, boom, boom. It doesn't matter. Because if God is for you, that's more than the whole world against you. And everything we lost from 1420 Main Street until we got here to 878 Humboldt Parkway, we got it back, baby. And we got it back. But we haven't recovered all yet. Y'all not hearing what I'm saying? Yeah. But we got it back. But we have to stay in the will of God. This is our Ziklag time. This is Ziklag right now. But once we pass this test, watch those Sauls fall on their own swords. Watch the enemy kill his own self. Watch those naysayers, watch what they have said, come back. And they have to eat their own poison. And the only thing we have to do is be faithful over a few things, and God will make you ruler over many. Come on, let's give God some praise in this place for the word of God. It's offering time in the house. Hallelujah. I know it's Christmas time, and I know that you've made a whole lot of millionaires billionaires. Amen. But we have to take care of our business here as well. Come on, give me some happy music. Boy, this is the time when John Jr. need to learn how to play. Run back there real quick, so that and take. Could you flip over and so that we can flip that over. Those of you who are listening, we're getting ready to sign off the air. Same anointing that is in this house is at your house as well. Listen, we thank you. Those of you who give online, those of you who give through the mail, it is, you just don't know. It just blows my everlasting loving mind every time I go to the mailbox. I'm like, Lord, thank you. Thank you. God is good. God is good. Listen. I'm encouraging you. Our address is 878 Humboldt Parkway, Buffalo, New York, 14211, or you can go online right now to pastoryoung.com. For those of you who are on totallygospel.com, I know that the page has changed. The online giving button is at the top of the page. God bless you. Let us all stand all over the building as we get ready to give. I want you to continue.